Hello and welcome to the Gibraltar Business Podcast, where we meet the local entrepreneurs and experts who are leading in their fields. I'm your host, David Ravagliate, and I just want to say thank you for tuning in. So whether you've just found us or have been with us since the start or just dabble every so often in an episode, thank you so much for listening. The Gibraltar Business Podcast is brought to you by the GFSB and is once again sponsored by Gibraltar International Bank, who shares our passion for all things business. This season comes with fresh new guests, fresh new features, and is coming from a brand new studio in the heart of town. So, on to this week's show. This week, I am joined by Michaela Rees, the founder of Knightsbridge Incorporated and the GFSB board member. I'll be asking Michaela about some of the big changes taking place at the GFSB. Later in the episode, Carlito Bujaya pops in to tell us all about his company's anti-wipe campaign in our new What's New Gibraltar feature. So, Michaela, thanks for joining me today on the podcast.
And thank you for having me.
No, not at all. It's a real honor to have you on the show, especially as you are the newest board member at the GFSB.
I am.
So, how do you get here, I guess, is part of the things that I want to know. Can you tell me through your kind of your early life, what experiences brought you to business?
Well, that's quite interesting, I suppose. I've been fairly nomadic throughout my life. So I was actually born in Australia, spent my early years in South Africa, of all places, traveled around a bit around the world and ended up in the UK. So I spent most of my formative years in Wiltshire, and I was quite lucky with my education there. And I completed one of these forms that said what you were going to be when you left school. And my teacher told me, you're either going to be a tax inspector or a businesswoman. And I said, oh, thank you very much. I'll work on that. And that's what brought me to where I am today, I suppose.
It really did combine both did. Those things, right?
It did. Certainly. I think from there, from school, I went on to university and I studied Spanish and international business. And I studied up in León in the north of Spain. Quite enjoyed it, but I found Spanish culture quite difficult to get on with. After 2 years there, I felt that I needed to leave. I had to go back to the UK. I needed my own cultural roots. I needed to be able to tell a joke and somebody to understand what I was saying. So I ran away back to the UK. Didn't know what to do with myself, so I did a master's in computing at that stage. In Cardiff, which I thoroughly enjoyed, hence why I do have a slight Welsh twang when I speak sometimes. It gets worse if I'm around Welsh people. So I lived in Swansea for quite some time, and I ended up setting up my own business there shortly after I'd had my daughter.
And that is a huge decision, you know, like as someone who is employed and kind of running a business on the side, I think it's a huge decision to start one. When and why did you take that decision?
If I'm really honest, it's I think it's because I'm not very good at conforming. I found it very difficult within the working environment, that structure and having the restrictions imposed on me. So having worked for a firm for sort of 3 or 4 years, an accountancy firm, and having my daughter, I then spoke to a few people. Somebody said to me, look, you're really good at what you do. Why don't you set up on your own? I'd never, ever, ever thought of running my own business. It hadn't crossed my mind. I just thought when you were in school, you went and got a job. That's what you do. You don't go and set up your own business. How do you do that? Luckily, my husband came from a long line of family members who had all been in their own business. So I had lots of people to talk to. And I set the firm up very small, working at the kitchen table to begin with on my own. And then slowly but surely, someone came to start working with me part time. And then we needed an office and then we needed a bigger office. Grew from there, really. So it happened very organically. And I'm very lucky that it happened that way.
I do think some of our listeners are going to relate to that kind of story. I know that I do for parts of it as well. I can definitely relate to working on the kitchen table, and then things growing organically as well. So
the kitchen table becomes your best friend when you start out in business.
Near the kitchen, near the biscuits, near the tea.
Obviously, I find in my business, because I started off with tax and accountancy, which obviously we still provide now, but that then developed into financial services generally and also the company management side of things. So I am really lucky because I get to see a lot of different businesses in my professional life. So I really get to understand the struggles that people have on a day-to-day basis. And I do get a lot of startups. I get people who come and for one reason or another, they need a new start in life. And the kitchen table, it certainly does become the focus.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but it's true. So coming back to, you mentioned the word that you've been a bit like nomadic. Mm-hmm. You'd had some time studying in Spain. Mm-hmm. What brings you to Gibraltar then?
Well, if I'm completely honest, it rains a lot in Wales.
True.
So I always wanted to move abroad somewhere. I think it was just in my blood, in my nature. Thought about moving back to Australia, felt the pace of life was just too slow, considered Spain. But as I said before, culturally, I didn't fit very well with that. So decided not to pursue that idea. Felt that places like Canada were just too far away. So I happened to come to Gibraltar by accident. So
happens a lot as well.
It does,
you know?
Doesn't it? Yeah. And I think all good things come by accident, really. But I think the biggest thing for me is if you see an opportunity, you've got to take it. If you don't, then you're going to regret it. So if you're given an opportunity and it's within your grasp and you have the appetite for it, then I think it's really important to give it a go. So I came to Gibraltar as part of a financial services firm that were looking for higher level permissions. So essentially came here for an interview with the FSC. It was all a bit last minute, if I remember rightly, because four of us managed to be squished into a one-bedroom apartment in Ocean Village. This is way back when Devil's Tower Road didn't have the Holiday Inn and there wasn't that accommodation here. So we were literally sort of scrabbling around trying to find somewhere to stay. So we squeezed into this one-bedroom apartment. My daughter got very sick with a heat stroke. So we had a horrendous time while we were here, but we absolutely loved it.
Wow.
We thought,
what a great start, right?
I know. Well, they do say that Gibraltar's like Marmite. And for us, we absolutely loved it. Despite all of those things, we were here for a very long weekend. We tried everything, obviously the healthcare services as well as everything else. And we just loved it and we wanted to get back here as soon as we could. So I then put my name forward to work on the management team of this financial services company that was going to move over to Gibraltar for their permissions.
What a journey, right? Thanks for your honesty. In terms of the Marmite thing, I have heard it from many, many people who move here or even come on holiday. And I think Gibraltar has something extra. You know, I think before we had this interview, you and I met at Vinopolis offline here, and we talked about the decision of why you come to Gibraltar. And sometimes there are financial or opportunities that come. But what other things, what drew you here then?
Well, I think Gibraltar is very good at marketing itself to the outside world. A lot of people want to come here. I get inquiries almost on a daily basis, generally from people in the UK who are very keen to move here. But all across Europe, I have lots of people always contacting us saying, I quite fancy moving to Gibraltar. Have you ever been here? No, but I know it's really good there. Okay. So we were in that same camp, to be honest. And I followed everything through. Unfortunately for me, the company that I was with decided not to carry on with their endeavours.
Okay.
By that point, I was invested and I wanted to move here and I was going to find a way to do it. So I then decided, because we had made the mistakes that a lot of businesses tend to make when they're trying to actually move into Gibraltar, which is doing it themselves, because we assume that everything functions in the same way as where we're from. And that's not the case. And it does make sense to actually invest and pay a local firm to help you out. And the number of times I was asked, are you getting someone to help you with this? Oh, no, it's fine. We're doing it ourselves. So having made a lot of mistakes with the financial services firm, I then realized that actually that was where my skill base was, and I could actually help people move here, because every mistake that you could make, I'd probably done it.
So you were learning by doing, and that's
I was learning by doing.
By your expertise.
Don't do what I did. No, exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, you know, yes, there's certain things that you can do yourself, and obviously, you know, money is not unlimited. So you do have to work within budgets for clients, but it is really important. So we then decided to set up the company management firm. So we set up Knightsbridge so that we could move, have an income and trade. So we started off as a very small business. There was two of us in the team.
When was that? And what's the timeline? Where are you now? What do you do?
We made that decision in 2017.
Okay.
So quite a while ago now. Took us quite a long time to get our license through various issues that we were dealing with. And I think we finally started trading probably towards the end of 2019. And then unfortunately, COVID hit.
Wow. The amount of conversations that I have, not just here at the podcast, but with unfortunately COVID, but was that moment for you as well?
Oh, well, a little bit. I went into panic mode, to be honest with you, because we literally just moved here. And I thought, how are we going to survive? The business hasn't started trading. But actually, it carried on. Financial services carried on. And I was pleasantly surprised. So I was able to carry on going to work. As I said, there was only two of us in the team. So I was able to keep going to my office at that time, because obviously with the restrictions that we had. And it worked. It did work. I think there are some businesses that really suffered. And I know that with a lot of my clients, that's basically what we ended up doing, is supporting them. We did a lot of videos actually telling people where to get information from. We were constantly keeping up to date with all the different things that they could apply for, just to keep their heads above water, really. It was hard.
Yeah, it was. It was. But it sounds like, you know, you again, learning by doing. And I think we've all had a shared experience there. You know, someone said it was recently I spoke to someone. They said it's a shared trauma, possibly.
Yeah.
But also a real shared experience for the business community, for sure.
Definitely.
Changing tack slightly and moving on, going back to that form that you filled in at school, and they said you'd be a businesswoman. For our listeners, you know, some of the people who are maybe starting out their business journey, thinking about starting a business, what advice would you give them? What's like the most important thing they should do?
If you make that decision that you need a change and that you're going to start your own business, you've got to have passion. You've really got to have passion. Don't just do it because you need to find another income stream, because that isn't going to have sustainability long term. I always say to people, when you run your own business, the highs are high, but the lows are low. My goodness, the first payment I ever received was for a check. It was a check for £124, and it felt like somebody had handed me a gold bar. it's tough. And the other thing I think is that you need to make sure that you've always got somebody around you as a sounding board. So often people do start business on their own. They start small, but they need to have somebody. It can be a friend. It can be a partner. It can be their mother. It can be their uncle, anybody. But there just needs to be somebody. And that is something actually that the GFSB is trying to try and tap into, to help people with, to bring people together, to allow people to collaborate and to discuss and to find ways to move forward and to share ideas and hints and tips and whatever it may be. And I think that's really, really important. I think we need to not be scared of sharing the market with other people. Sometimes we can actually grow the market if we work together, and that's really important.
Asking for advice, not being scared to collaborate with other people and reach out, right? Which again is part of what the GFSB, the Gibraltar Federation of Small Businesses, is doing.
Exactly.
Now, I mentioned at the start of our interview that you're the newest board member. So you're doing this as well as running your own business and all sorts of, I'm sure, outside of work commitments. How did the opportunity come about to join the board, and how's it going?
Well, I started off quite a while ago. This is pre-COVID. I was quite involved with Women in Business, as it was known then. That has now developed and changed, and we are now Women in Enterprise, to encompass all women who may be in other areas. So they may be working in education, for instance, or maybe they're working in government, or maybe, you know, they're voluntary roles. So we've expanded that to try to encompass everybody. So I was quite heavily involved in Women in Enterprise, and we still are. And it was just a natural progression then to then join the board. And I've been thoroughly enjoying it so far. So, yeah.
It is, you know, the GFSB has been around for 30 odd years around that time. There are some changes happening, right? That is. Can you tell us a bit more about those?
Well, we're quite fortunate, because obviously with COVID that we've already mentioned, everything was sort of stagnating generally. And as it so happened, we obviously had our AGM this year, and we now have a new chair, Owen Smith, who has been working very hard to make us work in a more efficient way, to make us more accessible and more visible to our members as well. I think that's really important. You do have to bear in mind that we are all working on a voluntary basis. We're giving up our own time in order to help further the cause, to be able to help the GFSB. So it is important that we recognise that. But generally, we're working hard.
I know that there's a few projects in the pipeline. So what are some of those ambitions for change?
I'd describe it more as a facelift. That's right. What we're working towards. So as I said earlier, we want to make sure that we're more accessible to our members. So any new members that join, we make sure that they meet a board member that may be able to help them with their specific industry. This is a new service that we're offering. We're reviewing all of the member benefits that we can offer. We're looking to expand our education and training offerings. We're looking to be able to disseminate more information to members. And we're trying to tell our members what we do, because there's a lot of things that go on behind closed doors, and obviously for good reason in some cases. But we're not telling our members enough about the good things that we're achieving. So we're trying to post more on our social media. We're trying to show people and showcase. As well as that, we're going to be launching the new magazine later on this year, which is very exciting. And I know that you're involved with.
It is very exciting. It's going to be a great piece of work, and a lot of work going into that.
Yes, exactly. And it's nice, because we've all been collaborating on that. And it's nice to put all of that in. And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to see more of our smaller businesses feature. And I think that's really important. For me, it's particularly important, because we overlook the small businesses sometimes. You know, they don't have the same power that the larger businesses have to make their point. They don't have the same number of employees, maybe. And it's very important that we try and get them involved at every level.
I think so. I think there's a lot of not just small business in Gibraltar, but micro businesses, they call them. Like one person bands. It's really nice to hear that. There's been a census also recently, right?
Yes, the census has recently taken place, and we should have the results fairly soon. And the purpose of that census was to get a better understanding of what our members' needs are. So it is been mentioned previously that maybe the breakfast clubs might need to be a little bit more tailored towards the industries that our members are party to. So by conducting a census, we're getting a better feeling as to what their needs and requirements are.
As a GFSB member myself, my company, I find sometimes being able to access similar companies in my field harder. So I think I'd welcome something that helped us do that, you know. Yes. So search by sector, you know, so it helps you develop your business.
There's so much going on. The website is having a facelift as well. We're going to have a members area on there. All of these things are in development. I can't promise when they're going to happen, but everybody is working really hard behind the scenes just to make things a lot more efficient for everyone.
Brilliant. So Michaela, we've got a couple more questions, and one of them is to kind of address, I guess, the elephant in the room that's still is the perennial elephant in the room, and I ask most of my guests about, and it's the kind of the uncertainty that Gibraltar's business community is kind of facing.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
Do you know what? I think there's always uncertainty with business, and you have got to be, what's the term, agile. I think you have got to be able to change. You've got to be able to flex and bend to whatever is happening at that point in time, because we're going to get over Brexit. We're going to get through COVID. We're going to get through the issues that we're having at the border. And then there'll be something else, something that we haven't thought about yet. So I think we've just got to keep doing what we're doing, which is talking about things, working together. There's a real strong sense of community in Gibraltar, and I really, really like that. I have never been in a place where there's so much business that's going on. It's almost like a little bubble. You go into the World Trade Center and there's like a flurry of activity going on behind closed doors, and you'll go to one of the other business centers and something will be happening there as well. But the thing that we do here is that we are used to these challenges and we respond really well to them because we change tack. And we find a way through it and we pull together. Our government is easily accessible here, and that doesn't happen in most places. So when we need something, we can go to them and we can say, we've got a problem. This is what we need you to do. And 9 times out of 10, they'll do what they can to help us. So I think we have to really just keep...
Yep, keep being positive and talking, collaborating, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of great advice for our listeners as well. But my final question, and one that I think most of my guests would really dislike, what's that one business lesson that you wish you'd known sooner, or that you've been told that you've learned?
Gosh, one lesson. I think there's so many lessons, and you're constantly learning, aren't you? I mean, I make a point every day of trying to learn one thing new, whatever it is, just one thing new. And I wouldn't say that's my business lesson. I think with a business lesson, you have got to be prepared to admit that you're wrong. That okay. would be my advice to anybody. You know, don't always think that you're right. You have got to accept that sometimes you have made the poor choice. You have made that wrong decision. You did take the wrong option. And that's okay. Because do you know what? What did they say? In order to succeed, first you must fail.
Yes.
And if you don't follow that through, you're not going to be successful. That's what I truly believe.
Brilliant. And thanks a lot, Michele. You've been a great guest.
Thank you.
Welcome back any time of the year.
Great.
So right now, just for this new feature of the show, we have Carlito Bujada from Wastage Products Limited. Thank you. Over to you. Tell us what's new.
Hi, David. Thanks very much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. I'll explain a bit about who we are and stuff. Wastage Products Limited is a sewage and waste disposal company, obviously based in Gibraltar. We were established just over 25 years ago, and I am one of the directors. I came into the picture about 8 to 10 years ago, and ever since I've sort of been campaigning for the reduction of use of baby wipes in Gibraltar and the flushing of them. Gibraltar has a very particular infrastructure. We have a very old sewage system, especially up in the upper town area. And these wet wipes are a major issue for the structural integrity of the sewage system. We have about 27 pumping stations around Gibraltar, and all these wipes get accumulated in the pumping stations, or they ultimately end up at sea, down by Europa Point. Now, our focus at the moment is to bring together a number of companies in Gibraltar. And we actually believe that the private sector should assist in leading the way to sustainability in these regards. So at the moment, we have brought together a number of companies, the likes of Sustainabuild, AMA, Netgear, Bassadoni, Piranha Design have joined as well. And what we are doing, we are requesting the public to take a pledge and promise us that they will not throw wipes down the toilet. Upon taking the pledge, we'll be giving them a nice gift basket with eco-branded gifts from all of our partners, and in the hope that we can reduce the usage of wipes in Gibraltar.
So brilliant. Just for our listeners, the usage of wipes is costing how much, you said?
Right. So back in December 22, the Chief Minister came out saying on GBC that the government invest about £1 million a year in Gibraltar's infrastructure. Now, a lot of this money, unfortunately, has to go into repairing, for example, in us unblocking the sewer. At Wastage, we believe that this investment could have much better use in the improvement of the system rather than in the repairing, which the actual public is actually deteriorating.
So I've seen this kind of stuff on the UK news, so it's interesting that it happens here as well. You have the Gibraltar Business Podcast's promise to not do this anymore and kind of pledge and support you in your campaign. How can some of our listeners, in either the public or businesses, get involved in the campaign?
If you follow our page on LinkedIn or our website, www.wastageproducts.com, we regularly post blogs, information about actually in and around Gibraltar of what we find in the sewers. So my LinkedIn page is full of, it's full of photos. So
guys, if you listeners, if you want those kind of pictures, follow Wastage. I'll include some contact details as well. And yeah, get involved. No more wipes in Gibraltar. Carlito, thank you for being part of this new feature of this new season.
Thank you very much for having me, David.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Gibraltar Business Podcast. Thank you so much to my guests, Michaela Rees and Carlito Bujaya, as well as our sponsors, the Gibraltar International Bank. I'd like to thank everyone who contributes to the project and keeps the podcast going from strength to strength. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you found this episode informative and engaging. If you want to contact the show, please do so on any of our social channels. So it's a goodbye from me. And remember, keep striving for success and stay focused on your goals. See you next week.